from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. Oakland teachers are set to strike on Thursday unless a deal can be reached with the district. Here's Union President Keith Brown speaking to media yesterday.
How can we feed our students' mind when we starve our schools of the needed resources to give our students a quality education in Oakland?
Teachers are asking for higher pay, a 12% increase, and smaller class sizes. The district is offering 5%, but says its hands are tied by a budget crisis. John Sasaki is communications director for Oakland Unified School District.
Everybody in the district believes the teachers deserve to have more money. So in the short term, you know, it's just a matter of how much money can we find.
The strike announcement came after the release of a neutral fact-finding report on Friday. The report, mandated under state law, recommended a new contract that would last through the 2019-2020 school year and would include three percent pay increases over the first 2 years. It also called for reopening salary talks in the third year. What do you think of the union's decision to strike? And if you're an Oakland parent, teachers, or resident, we'd particularly like to hear from you. You can call us now at our toll-free number. The number to call is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or email forum@kqed.org. And KQED education reporter Vanessa Roncagno is here to give us the latest. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. And apparently we've got sticking points still. Let's talk about what the main points are at this point.
Sure. I mean, you referenced one of the big ones, salary. Union is asking for 12% over 3 years. The district is still offering 5%. They say the union says it's about a lot more than that. They talk about class size. They want a reduction of 2 students over 2 years, 4 students at really high-need schools, and the district is not offering much in that department. And the union also wants some significant investments in support staff.
Any possibility this can be diverted?
I think it seems very unlikely. You know, in L.A., it did get pushed back some because of some legal wrangling, but I haven't heard that that's going to happen here. Beyond asking the union to come back to the table, the district doesn't seem to be pursuing any legal means of postponing this.
What about this fact-finding group? This was a non-binding group, and John Sasaki, who we heard from in that cut, said it can move us toward a resolution. First of all, what did they find?
Well, the fact-finding report comes out of the fact-finding process, which is the last stage in the formal negotiation process. It's a panel of 3 people, one appointed by each party, and then a neutral guy. In this case, it was a guy named Najib Khoury, who used to be a mediator for the L.A. Unified School District and was actually involved in their negotiations down there. He was the neutral, so he put out a report based on what he heard during these hearings where each side presented their case. And it's basically 20 pages of him laying out some of the facts, putting forward a bunch of different considerations, balancing them against each other, and trying to put forward some reasonable recommendations for a settlement.
Well, we asked Mayor Schaaf. She could not come on this morning, but Brian Watt spoke with her, and here's what she said.
I'm hopeful that we can come to a contract for our incredible teachers. Teachers absolutely deserve to make a living wage and to work in decent conditions. We also have to keep a fiscally solvent district, and there has been a long history of challenges with this district. I happen to have a lot of confidence in our superintendent, Dr. Kyla Johnson Trammell. She is an Oakland native. She's a lifelong Oakland educator. I know that her heart is in the right place.
Well, what do you think of the union's decision to strike? If you're an Oakland parent, teacher, or resident, we'd particularly like to hear from you. And again, you can join us now at our toll-free number, and we invite you to do that. The number to call is 866-733-6786. That number again, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org. We're talking about the impending Oakland teacher strike set to start on Thursday, talking with KQED education reporter Vanessa Roncagno. What are you finding the parents are saying about this?
You know, most of the parents I've talked to firsthand have been very supportive. Some have told me that they're going to take their kids to work with them. Some say that they're going to trade off with other parents taking a day off of work and they're going to take care of a number of kids at their home, a lot of parents are going to be sending kids to these solidarity schools or strike schools, which are basically recreation centers, other community centers, churches that are going to be open to take care of kids, up to 250 kids in one case, and feed them. But I have heard from teachers who've been doing the hard work of reaching out to parents about this, that there, in some cases, is a lot of reluctance and a lot of fear about what keeping their kids out of school means for their education.
Well, the schools are going to stay open. It seems clear they're going to get substitutes. At least that's the plan.
Exactly. That's the plan. Yeah.
That's going to be shouting scab and all the rest that goes with that.
Yeah? Sure. Yep.
What about the school board members? Have you talked to any of them?
Yeah, I mean, they say publicly that they are supportive of the teachers' demand for better pay. And in fact, that that's central to their goal to improve teacher retention, which is pretty low in the district.
Low enough so there's been a cause of concern as well, a deep cause of concern.
Yeah, absolutely. So they say they want to do it. The question is, where is the money going to come from, right? And they say if we're going to pay teachers more, we're going to have to make cuts elsewhere.
Well, we're going to hear from our listeners, and let's begin with a caller joining us from Los Gatos, and that's Lawrence. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I was a teacher in Oakland for a very short time and left, as did the entire administration, and I think most of the faculty thereafter at Skyline High School. And I think the issue is obviously not only one of pay, but of the entire culture and atmosphere in the Oakland schools.
Well, it's not only pay. They're talking about more resources for teachers. They're also talking about smaller classes. But what do you mean by culture?
Again, I'm teaching, talking from my limited experience at Skyline, but I taught elsewhere and found that in Oakland, the teachers were not supported. I had, it was a very sad situation where I had, most of my students would never graduate because they had less than a 2.0 average. There was very little support for them. There was little support for the teachers. I had students coming in and out of my classroom with impunity, and there was told there was nothing to be done about it.
Let me thank you for those comments, because I want to get a comment, Lawrence, from Vanessa Roncagno, who's here with us in studio. Can you address that whole question he's bringing up about the culture and kind of the feeling of defeatism that I think is subtextual from what he said?
Sure. I mean, I can just say that I've heard that from other teachers as well. So he's not the only person who's felt that way. I do think it varies from school to school. I've been inside schools where the principal has been around for many years, where there's not a lot of turnover in teachers or administration at this point, and they seem far more stable, even though they're dealing with the same high needs populations that some of these other schools are that have a lot of turnover.
So, Lawrence, any recommendations? A lot of people listening to you here. What would you like them to do in terms of changing the culture?
First of all, I do think that discipline needs to be, when I say discipline, I don't mean a punitive discipline. I do believe that there needs to be, almost like starting from scratch, a revisit of the way the school works. I believe that, for example, the classroom, students should be evaluated and supported for where they are and what their needs are. And that may be an issue of money.
Well, it also may be an issue of leadership. You heard Libby Schaff, the mayor, say she has a great deal of confidence in the superintendent. And so do a lot of people in Oakland now. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? I'm sorry, Lawrence. I want to get on to more callers. In fact, there are a lot of people who want to weigh in here, but I thank you for the call. And let me jump to another caller in Oakland, and that's Hugh. Hugh, join us. You're on.
Hi, thank you. Our son attended elementary and public middle school in Oakland, and we had an overall positive experience. But I wanted to ask where I know that's not the experience of everybody, but I wanted to ask what the status is of the high amount of spending at OUSD's central headquarters compared to other school districts. That's been an ongoing issue. on previous forum programs. And then the second question, without losing sight of the first one, is closing. There's been a lot of talk about closing underattended or poor performing schools in Oakland. Of course, what they will probably do is then become charters, which essentially means maintaining a small school that then bypasses the school district. And if OUSD tries to close a charter, all the charters do, even if it's a failing charter, in other words, all they do is appeal to the county and to the state, which then reinstate them. So they never, failing charters never get closed.
Yeah, and the charter school issue is something I'd like to take up as well in the limited time we have here. But Vanessa, can you address those questions?
Well, in terms of the central office budget, I guess I'll just say that I think the district has, to some extent, heard the community's cries there, and they're looking to cut over $20 million from next year's budget, and the majority of those cuts are coming from the central offices. In some cases, their central office supports two schools, but a lot of them are central office. And then what was the second
well,
part of
he was
it?
Asking about charter schools and what struck,
About the decision to close under-enrolled schools. You want to move on?
Yeah. Let's hear a cut first from a parent. This is a parent.
The black and brown families in Oakland have suffered enough displacement. That's Our right. public schools should stay open.
That's Clarissa Datha talking about the OUSD plans to shut schools. I guess there are, 24 of 87 schools that they're talking about because of budget And because of the rules that are coming down, really, from the feds. I'm just wondering, though, at this point about the charter school issue, because it's played a central role in a lot of the rhetoric. People are talking about Reed Hastings and Bill Gates, billionaires who are setting the agenda here. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think here in Oakland and in L.A., as elsewhere, they've become sort of this existential threat for the teachers' union. I think that's in part because they're publicly funded and privately run. They're not held. They don't have to follow all the regulations that public schools have to follow. There was a report that teachers in Oakland like to point to that found they are siphoning $57 million a year from the public education system. And there are reports that have found that they're not serving as many high-need students, as many special needs students as traditional public schools. And those services are extremely expensive. And then, as you know, the school board does not have a lot of control over not allowing a charter to continue to operate, right? Or granting it a charter in the first place. They're not allowed to consider the financial impact. So their hands are really tied. And that's part of the reason that school board members are saying that they're going to Sacramento to lobby around these issues.
Well, here's an Oakland parent who says, as an Oakland parent, I find the report undermines the district's position on salaries and other issues. They need to update their offer to settle the strike. Jessica writes, please talk about all the previous mismanagement on the part of OUSD that led to this budgetary crisis, something we've talked about on forum before. And she goes on to say the idea that there's somehow just not enough money to go around is false. There's not money because the district has been wasting it, losing it, and generally mismanaging it for years. And this has been a big issue, particularly in hiring counselors and other people outside of what's gone to the teachers.
Right. It is a big issue, and the district says that they are taking steps to address this. They're reforming their budgeting practices, and they say this is why they're having to make these brutal cuts that they're making. Of course, the union would say that they're not prioritizing properly, right? And they should be making cuts elsewhere and investing in other places. But part of it has to do with a legacy of turnover at the top. I mean, this district has had a lot of superintendents. Each of them comes in with their own initiatives and programs that they want to start. And so there's sort of this layering effect where there's a lot of money going towards a lot of different initiatives. To her credit, I think Kyla Johnson-Trammell has not done that.
She's been getting high marks, but she's got a lot to contend with, to put it mildly. And a lot of that is what is past and prologue, as you've suggested. Bill asks, fewer students per teacher times higher pay per teacher means much more cost per student. From where does the union propose to get the money.
Yeah. In the fact finder's report, he points to the district's contention that it would cost $36 million to meet their demands around reducing class size. And he also points out some considerations around negative impacts, right? Like if there are high demands for certain classes and we reduce the class size, fewer kids are going to be able to get into those classes.
Talking again with Vanessa Roncagno. She is education reporter for the California Report. And here's another caller from Oakland. John, you're on. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm an Oakland parent. My son's at Montclair Elementary, and we're sending him to a solidarity school to stand with the teachers. And I guess my question is really about just the fact that the economy has been the best it's been in my lifetime for the last decade. And so there must be a lot of money coming into the coffers of Oakland. Property taxes are high, house prices are through the roof, businesses are making money. So how is there not enough top-line money, despite the mismanagement, to get these teachers paid what they deserve?
Okay, the economy is good, so where's the money, Vanessa?
Oh, yeah, folks have a lot of feelings about that. I mean, one, California is a relatively low spending state. So even though if you look at the overall number, we spend a lot of money, we spend like 50% of the state budget on education, but relative to other states, we're pretty low spending. And that changed after Prop 13 was passed in 1978. That proposition really undercut property taxes. It reduced property tax revenue by about 60% in the year after it passed.
Excuse me, Vanessa, here's a comment from a listener. The answer to our school funding crisis is easy: reform Prop 13.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. The experts I've talked to would say, yeah, that's a good start, but it's an incredibly complicated funding system at this point. So that's just one piece of the puzzle.
One more comment from Liza, who says, I'm an OUSD parent and I support our teachers and will not cross the picket line. That said, while OUSD is unforgivably fiscally irresponsible, the problem lies at the state. We need to fund our California schools. I believe the entire state needs to strike. We'll take some more callers and we'll go next to another Oakland caller. Betty, welcome. You're on Forum.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Yes, I'm a retired teacher, Oakland teacher, and also the former president of the Oakland Education Association. So I'm really excited by the stand that the teachers are taking. These are all such longstanding problems. When I was president back in 2006 to 2012, we had the same issues, high class size, huge turnover. And it's very exciting to see that across the country, teachers are taking a stand. I think this is the time. West Virginia is going out today. Denver just settled. UTLA. One thing I want to second everything that people have been saying so far about the need to reform Prop 13, about the need to change charter law, because the charters are squeezing the life out of our district. We now have 86 district-run schools and 44 charters. They've taken thousands of students from the schools. They cream the schools for the so-called better teachers, and then they leave schools with lack of resources and the most difficult children to teach. I also want to touch on school closures, because that's been posed as a way of saving the district money, and that's just not the case. If you look at studies, it shows that in the long run, closing schools does not save the district money, and in fact, it opens property to more charter schools. So that's something else I know the union is taking a stand on, and I hope the community will get out to support our Oakland teachers in this very important fight.
And Betty, thank you. Appreciate hearing from you, and also hearing from Alita, who writes, SFUSD, that's San Francisco Unified School District, gets millions from the city from the PEEF, the Public Education Enrichment Fund. We just passed Prop G, a parcel tax that will help fund teacher raises. Have conversations happened in Oakland to similarly support students? Vanessa, are you hearing that?
I mean, the mayor wants to be very supportive in these negotiations. As you know, the city council passed a resolution in support of teachers, so we may see some movement. I mean, there already are some measures, G1, right? That's money for teachers. We may see more. I don't know.
I have to wait and see. And in the meantime, we'll take another call. Mike is joining us from Hayward. Mike, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, I know teachers are generally striking all across the country, as one of the previous callers just mentioned. And I wonder about the district's position with respect to the large and growing teacher shortage. You know, I mean, if the plan is to staff the schools with substitutes, where exactly are those substitutes going to come from? They don't even have enough full-time, you know, accredited teachers as it is. So I just feel like, you know, the need to address the salary concerns, but then also the concerns about working conditions is really, really dire, and they should probably look to that.
Yeah, Mike, you're raising a vital question, I think a very significant one. What are you hearing about teacher shortage problems in Oakland specifically?
In terms of emergency staffing,
yeah.
They've got an ad up on Craigslist, $300 a day if you want to sign up to sub. But it sounds like it's going to be a lot of administrators and central office staff, front office school staff who are teaching classes in auditoriums and libraries.
But as we said before, there's a concern about retention, too, which plays into this. I mean, if you can't get the teachers out of Craigslist, where are you going to get them?
Absolutely. I mean, this is part of the reason that everybody is in agreement that teachers need to be paid more.
And there's quite a gulf here. I mean, they're talking about the district's talking about 5%. The teachers are talking about 12% over 3 years. I mean, one would assume when you have that big a gap, maybe you could come somewhere in between the two.
Right. And the neutral fact finder pointed out in his report that 5% increase does not keep pace with inflation. I think, as you said, he's recommending 6% over 2 years, 3%, 3%, and then a renegotiation.
The third year to be decided on.
The
yeah.
third year.
And we'll get another caller on. This is a caller from Berkeley. Linda, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just had a quick comment. I was thinking about the housing situation for teachers and how it's so expensive to live near where they teach. I was wondering if the schools had considered co-housing as developing maybe a property that a school that is not really being used on to develop it for co-housing for teachers. What a beautiful concept for creativity and camaraderie and low rent.
And your thoughts, Vanessa, or what you're hearing?
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak in great detail to that, but I have been at board meetings where school board members talked about this, and I specifically remember a teacher getting up and saying, I don't so much like being an OUSD employee. I definitely don't want OUSD to be my landlord as well.
Let me thank the caller. Go back to L.A. schools for a moment. You mentioned before there was a kind of wrangling there that was worked out, at least in terms of, statutes and the like. No analogy here? Again, you said it's very different here.
Well, I think the salary issue is bigger here. I mean, the proposals are much farther apart in this case than they were at the end in L.A. I think it was 6% and 6.5%. So they're very close and they landed on 6%, but they got a lot of other wins. They got a school nurse in every school. Here, the ratio of school nurses to students is 1 to 1,350 students. And it's worse than that from the school nurses I've talked to because there's a real shortage. But the way this fact finder put it in his report is, hey, we can't cut that ratio in half the way you want to, union folks, if we can't even staff the positions we have. So why don't you both work together and see if you can find some ways to work on nurse retention, et cetera.
Then the fact finding, they talk about smaller classes. That's been a big part of this. I want to go to resources as well. They suggested maybe one less student.
Across the board, that was his recommendation. I think, as I said, the union was looking for 2 to 4 over 2 years.
And what are they looking for in terms of resources? Nurses? What else?
Yeah, they wanted to cut that ratio in half. They were looking for a big reduction in the counselor to student ratio. And the fact finder did recommend bringing that down, but it's not as far down as the union had hoped. And he recommended hiring 3 more school psychologists, which is not a whole lot.
Here's Carl joining us from Oakland. Carl, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I was calling because I've got 2 kids that are in an Oakland charter school. We started at one of the public schools up in the Montclair area. Had a great experience there. But really one of the problems that we had was that it felt so economically aggressive. We didn't really feel like it was a good representation of Oakland. An opportunity came where a school was opening close to us, offered language immersion. It's kind of in the East Oakland border. And we've been there now for 4 years. We've helped to build this school. There's been unbelievable opportunity to be involved with figuring this whole thing out, figuring out how to make this school solvent, how to find teachers. And at least as a parent, I've found the opportunity to be so involved really exceptional. And I've always kind of been curious why there's so much pushback with charter schools, or if I'm having a unique experience in having such a great experience.
Yeah, I'm sure there are parents like Carl who feel very satisfied and happy about charter schools. What are you hearing, Vanessa?
Well, I mean, initially, these schools were intended to be sort of innovation labs that could teach traditional public schools some new things. And they were meant to offer a choice to folks who didn't have a good option in their neighborhood necessarily. And I think they've become a lot more than that. So I don't think people take issue with the existence of one or two innovative, you know, new schools testing things out. But when they become a huge force in the district, when they're pulling 30% of students, that has real financial implications for the district. And I think people feel like there's a lot of unfair elements around how they operate and what kind of control school boards have over when they open, when they close, that kind of thing.
Let me thank Carl for the call. Let's try to get one quick call on before we sign off here from Newark. Gurish, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, and I love your show. And I just wanted to ask your guest about the movie Waiting for Superman, where it was shown that teachers who have tenure, even if they're not quality teachers, are kept on anyway.
Yeah, Gareth, we're really short on time here. I'm apologizing because we were coming up on the end of this hour. We actually featured the maker of that movie on here, and I did a thing down at Stanford on it. Essentially, a lot of people saw it as a brief for charter schools, but tenure?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely contentious. And the state superintendent who we have seems to be pretty in line with the teachers union on that issue.
We'll leave it there. Vanessa, thank you. Thank you for your reporting. Thank you for being with us on Forum this morning. Vanessa Roncagno, again, is education reporter for the California Report. Another hour of Forum up ahead. We're going to talk to Dani Shapiro about her new memoir about finding her biological father. Stay tuned.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis. On view through April 14th, Blue and Yellow Corridor, an iconic work by Bruce Nauman, realized on the very grounds where the artist conceived it.